tune that day, just shuffling of soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. One day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus breathed his last? Could it be that his Father had forsaken him, turned his back on his Son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget him, he's dead. Then the Father looked down on his Son and said, like lightning from heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead man, the guards, they all stood there in fright, as the power of love displayed its might. Then suddenly a
good morning. It's Friday. Peter is asleep. Judas has betrayed him. Mary is crying. Hope is lost. Death has won. Satan is laughing. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place. But Sunday's coming. Today's the day. Today is the day we celebrate the resurrection. For you see, without the resurrection, we have no hope. We have no salvation. The resurrection was the proof that Jesus was who he said he was. He loved like he said he loved. He died for us like he said he would die. And he gives us a hope and a future. The resurrection. That is why we're here. That is what we celebrate. And we are so thankful that you're here with us. Thank you for being with us today to celebrate Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to do something. We've not done this since I've been here, but we have filled every pew with these cards. I want to each family grab a card and hold it up. And if you're on the front row, there's not one in front of you, but there's one behind you. We just want to ask every family, even our regular faithful attenders, to take one of these, fill it out, one per family, and on the back, there's a place for prayer requests. You feel free to share prayer requests that may be on your heart. We pray for you weekly. But also, jot down your family members that are here with you on the back in that area. We just want to see who all's here so that we can pray for you, even our faithful regular attenders. I ask that you do that, fill it out. And then later, when the offering plate is it going to be passed? We're going to be passing it. Hey, I only work here, okay? Drop it in that because we want to be praying for you. And you, and as a guest of us of Eastside today, we want to be praying for you and your family as well. Again, thanks for being here as we worship and celebrate the resurrection.
This time we just want to welcome you. So if you want to take the next couple minutes, greet each other, greet somebody you don't know. If you're visiting with us and you just want to sit there, or you want to get up and walk around, you can do whatever you're most comfortable with. Take some time and greet one another.
Are you? If you would make your way back to your seat. Man, we are glad you're here this morning. We're excited you're here this morning. Some of us are so excited that we're just a bundle of nerves. But we are excited. Listen, I want to take a moment. My name's Andrew. I'm the pastor here at Eastside. You just heard from Robbie, our associate pastor, student extraordinaire, and children's everything, family everything, pastor, a moment ago. But I want to take just a moment and echo what he said. We're glad you're here. And then do two more things. I want to share with you just for a moment what this service is about. And I'm pretty sure you have a good idea of that, but I'm going to say it anyway. And then I want to tell you what the service is going to be like, and then we're going to get rolling again. Okay? Is that all right with everybody? All right. So what this service is about, Pastor Robbie already said it, it's about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. When we look at God's Word, we see a very clear picture at the beginning of God's Word in the book of Genesis of the way that God created the world. He created it with a specific design. He created us with a specific design for us and the way that we live. And it was perfect. It was good. We had a perfect relationship with Him. You see Adam and Eve in the garden in the beginning of the Bible, and they had a perfect relationship with each other. And then we see something enter into the world. We see Adam and Eve choose to go their own way. We see them hear what God tells them to do and choose to try and live a different way. The Bible calls that sin. You've heard that before, probably even if you haven't been in church much. All that means is that instead of living the way God has called us to live in any specific area of our lives, we choose to go a different way. And so sin entered the world. In Genesis chapter 3. And from that point, we see sin reign in every chapter, in every verse of the Bible from Genesis 3-4. We see every person that in the pages of the Bible, we see them that they are broken by sin. And we see this brokenness in a lot of different ways in the Bible. We see broken families, we see broken individuals. When sin entered the world, something else also entered the world, death. And along with death, everything that comes with death, suffering, tragedy, sickness, disease, broken relationships, heartache, heartbreak. And we see that over and over again through the pages of the Bible. But we don't just see it in the pages of the Bible, do we? We see it in our own lives. I see it in my life. I see when I know it would be better if I did something God's way and I choose to do it my way. I'm sure you see that in your life. And we see suffering in our world with our own eyes. We see death. We experience loss. We experience heartache and heartbreak over and over and over again. We see the brokenness as a result of sin, don't we? We see people in the Bible try to fix their own brokenness. We see them try to numb it out in different ways, not pay attention to it or just distract themselves from it. We see that in our own lives. We see people trying to fix their brokenness with better behavior or better decisions or greater commitment. We see some people try to fix their brokenness with religion, a set of rules that if they think if they can follow those rules, they can get themselves together and fix their own broken lives. We see some people tired of trying to fix their own lives and they just decide to numb the pain of their brokenness. They numb it with a host of different things. They have a lot of options to numb their pain with out there today. Whether it's some kind of addiction or broken relationship after broken relationship, they're living life running from their pain because they finally realize that they can't fix their brokenness, but they don't know who can. And that leaves us with a picture in the Bible of kind of hopelessness. God created us one way, and we've lived this way, and now we can't fix it. And that brings us to today, the gospel. The Bible calls the good news of what Jesus did for us the gospel. That's all that word means, good news. And the good news of Jesus is this. The Bible tells us that God sent His Son Jesus into the world, His perfect and only Son. And He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He was tempted in every way we are, but he didn't sin. So he lived a life by God's design that we were supposed to live. Then he died on a cross. The Bible tells us that he didn't just die on the cross for himself or by accident, but he went to the cross on purpose to die in our place. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin, what we earn with our sin, our brokenness, is death. But Jesus took that death upon himself. The Bible says that God performed a miracle when Jesus was hanging on the cross. He took all of our sin, all of our baggage, all of our brokenness, and he put it on his perfect son, Jesus, and Jesus died paying for all of those things. And Jesus really did die. His heart stopped beating. His lungs stopped breathing. There was no brain activity. He was dead. They took him off the cross and they put him in a tomb. He had truly died and paid the price for our sins. But there's no way we would know that to be true if he had not come out of the grave. The Bible tells us over and over and over again, all four Gospels and many times after that, even before that, the Bible tells us that this would happen. That Jesus would die for our sins and then 3 days later rise from the dead. Achieving victory over death for all eternity and over the power of sin in every individual's life that places faith in him. And that today is what we're celebrating. That he's not dead. He is alive. And he's not just alive, but he's alive and reigning today. He's alive and available to us today. I can come to him with my own personal requests and worries, and you can too. That's the gospel. The question is, how do we get there? The Bible doesn't give us a list of things to do. It doesn't say you need to be in church this much, and you need to pray this much, you need to read through your Bible 100 times before you die, and then maybe you'll be in the arms of Jesus when you die. It tells us this. It says, believe in what Jesus has done for you, in his life, death, and resurrection. And repent of your sins. In other words, you've been living your way where we started in this conversation. You've been going your own way. And when you come to Jesus, you got to be ready to go his way. The Bible tells us when we come to him, believing in what he's done and turning from our sin, repenting is what the Bible calls that, and turning to him, that he saves us. He gives us his spirit and he gives us the power, not our own, his power, so that we can then live the way, recover and pursue his design for our lives. And some of us in this room know that to be true. And that's what this service is about. Later on in the service, there's going to be a time of response and invitation. And for those of you who know that to be true for yourself, you come to a place of repentance and belief in Jesus. You've turned to him. You said, I've done living my life my way. I want to follow you, Jesus. I trust you and believe you, and I need you to die on the cross for me. Please save me. Those of you who have come to that point in your life, you know that to be true, and you can spend this service hearing scripture and singing praises to his name. But some of you have heard it over and over again, but you haven't come to that point in your life today. And so later on in the service, there's going to be a chance that you'll have to come forward and end the service. You don't have to do it publicly. You can just come forward. We'll have counselors that you can go with and sit down. They'll show you in the Bible how to give your life to Jesus. But between now and then, there's going to be scripture read about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and songs sung about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We're going to get started with that in just a moment. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask the Lord to just work on our hearts today. Maybe you're here and you're wrestling with faith. Maybe you can, in faith, just ask God, all right, if you're there, show me today. If I need to trust you, show me today. After I pray, the ushers are going to take up the offering. If you're visiting with us, all we ask is that you just place one of those info cards in the offering plate. And then our choir is going to lead us through the rest of the service. and we just ask that you listen. If you want to sing the songs that you know, you can stand and sing or sit and sing. But we just want you to listen and hear from God's word what he's done for you in the life, death, and resurrection of his son. Can we do that today? All right, I'm ready. I'm excited. I hope you are too. I want to pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day, Easter Sunday, where we get to celebrate, as we do every other day, but especially on this day, the resurrection of Jesus. That what he did, what he said, what he died for on the cross, all of it is true because we know that he came out of the grave and we know he's alive and reigning today. And we know that he's going to come back again. Lord, we pray that your spirit would just minister to us today, that it would lead those who know you to praise you, and that your spirit, that he would lead those who don't know you to you for the first time. God, we love you and we just ask that you would do what only you can in this service today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
He was assigned a grave with the wicked. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thank you. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Chapter 9, verse 31. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. He began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise.
I'm going to ask you to stand and sing this one with us.
And Christ alone.
Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him released for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with them they crucified two robbers, one on his right, one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And then the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of a rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the mother of Jesus, Mary, saw where he was laid. First day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the tomb had been taken away, the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. The disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one on the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Stand and sing.
Let's stand together. And on the
So, Jesus is alive. And, yeah. Some of you know him today, and you can sing louder today and from now on because he is alive. And I hope that your heart has just been burning with fire because of that fact today. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, after Jesus raises from the dead, Jesus encounters two men walking from Jerusalem. They don't recognize him. They're saddened because Jesus has died on the cross and they think they've lost all hope. Jesus begins to tell them about himself using the Old Testament and the New Testament. He finally sits down and with them and he has a meal with them. He breaks bread and he passes it out to them. And it says they recognized him. And they say, did our hearts not burn within us when we were listening to him speak? And they finally believed. Some of you here today have heard over and over again about the resurrection of Jesus, but you've yet to repent, to turn to him, and believe in his life, death, and resurrection. And we want to give you the opportunity to do that today. Perhaps your heart's burning within you the way it did within those two men that were with Jesus. If that's you, you can come forward today. We won't make you say anything. We'll just take you to the side, sit down with you, and show you what it means to give your life to Jesus. If you just want to come and pray, you can come and pray. If you just want to stand and praise his name, then we want you to stand and praise his name. But we're going to sing one more song. And however the Holy Spirit's leading you to respond, we want you to respond.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, it says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
guys can be seated. And the Lord's working today. We almost always say when we get done here on Sunday morning that He's not limited to this time or place. He may be working on your heart, and if He is, this aisle isn't a requirement for you. But we do want to know so that we can walk you through the Word, what it means to give your life to Him and follow Him. Or maybe you're a Christian and you're just dealing with some stuff and you need somebody to pray with you. We're available to you. I'm available, Pastor Robbie, Dustin, and so many others are available to you if the Lord's working on your heart. I want to ask you to pray for Miss Patricia Howard, right? Howell, I'm sorry. Miss Patricia Howell. Lord's working in her life, and she believes that He may be leading her to Eastside. Amen. So just want to ask you to pray for her. And then I want to ask you to pray for Abram. This is Abram Gaines. Me and Abram and his mom, dad, come on up, Chad. You guys are a pretty important part of this equation. Me and Abram and Joy's, Joy and Chad, Abram's parents, going to sit down later. And Lord's working on his heart. He's drawing him, drawing Abram to Himself. And so we just want to celebrate that, okay? Again, if that's you, He's not limited to this time or place. So grab one of us, tell us. Use our phone numbers found in the bulletin. Text us. We'll follow up with you, okay? We're so thankful that you're here today. I'm going to ask Brother Todd to come close us. And if you're a family, you got kids, whether high school students, middle school students, or below, Pastor Robbie would love to get together with you over here and just share with you a little bit about what's going on. Is that right?
Visitors, we are so glad you came to be with us today. If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to consider Eastside. As Brother Dustin said a minute ago, if you need to talk to somebody before you leave, grab somebody. Somebody in this place can put you in touch with somebody that can talk to you about the Lord and get that squared away before you leave this place. Church members, just take a look at your bulletin. Remember the announcements for the rest of the week. We will not have services tonight. We want you to go home and spend this Easter Sunday with your family and friends. And we hope you all have a great afternoon in the Lord. Please, let's stand. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful, God, that in your omnipotent wisdom, you had the plan in place for our salvation. And it was through your Son, Jesus Christ, on that cruel cross. His death, burial, and resurrection, Father. And I just praise you for that. And that's what we celebrate today, Father, is that Jesus has become the bridge between us and you over our sin, Father. And we praise you for that gift. Father, as we leave this place, please prick the hearts of those that are not Christians and let them know that your Son will stand for them just like He has for us, Father. And God, we just ask that no one would leave this place without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we just ask you to convict them and let them find and make it right with you this morning or today. Father, as we leave this place, we ask your blessings on every family that's represented here. And we just ask you to be with us as we continue to celebrate your resurrection this morning. Father, go with us and keep us and bring us back at the next appointed time. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.